Good morning. Thank you. Good morning. So my name is Sonia Machin-Wike, and I am with the Office of Minority Health, and our Office of Minority Health is within the Office of the Secretary. I always have to make that clarification since the Affordable Care Act. And we are with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Within the Office of Minority Health, we have an initiative known as the National Partnership for Action to End Health Disparities. And the NPA, as we call it for short, is all about addressing health disparities. It's the one national initiative that is solely focused on addressing or tackling the issue of health disparities in this nation. And under the NPA, our mission really is about improving the effectiveness of programs that are working towards addressing health disparities. And we believe that the way to do this is through increasing coordination, collaboration between partners, stakeholders, and communities and others who are committed to action. The reason why we're here today is because under the NPA, we are very much about systems change. We want to change systems because we believe that systems are the path to changing our systems and how our systems either create, perpetuate, or fail to address health disparities is the path to assuring health and well-being for our communities. And so we are very focused on systems change. And to address systems change, we need to look at our programs and policies, not just within the health sector, but also across all the sectors that have work that influences health. So we're talking about education, we're talking about health, we're talking about labor, and the list goes on. So we have a very social determinants of health perspective. And one thing we started doing this May of 2014, is we decided that we needed to bring together experts and leaders who are working across different sectors to promote health equity, to talk about the strategies that they are employing to do this. So we know that there are lots of things happening across the nation, be it in health departments, and of course we know that because our work in the health sector has mostly been about health and health equity, and we have been in the race the longest, we know that we do have the most experience in doing this type of work. So we started with the health sector in May, and we hosted a series of webinars, and I don't know if any of you participated, but we had a very wonderful experience listening to the different state health departments that we hosted and one county health department talk about the strategies that they have implemented to promote health equity. And we're here again today because we love to be at APHA, and we know that at APHA we have a wonderful audience of decision makers, practitioners, and again we want to give the opportunity to share some of these innovative strategies for promoting health and health equity within our communities. So today you're going to hear from an esteemed panel of speakers from different states. And I like to look at, I like to talk about states in terms of coloring. What we mean by that is in terms of political affiliation or social, the investment in social work. So you'll see a variety here today from Oklahoma, California. I always refer to California as the great nation of California because they do a lot of things. This is where I was at EPA anyway. We would wait to see what California is doing and then we'll follow suit. So. And then we have Commissioner Ellinger from Minnesota. So you're going to hear indeed a very interesting spectrum of ideas about how to promote health equity. And also something I want you to think about as you listen to their presentations is the concept of the health sector providing leadership and what that means, because this does not work for the health sector alone. Health sector does not influence education, they don't influence transportation, but we need to be at the table so that we can bring the knowledge that we have about how these different social determinants affect social determinants of health affect health to those who have the power and the resources and influence on those determinants. So without much ado, I'm going to introduce my co-moderator, Monica Lupi. Monica is the Chief Program Officer of Health Systems Transformation at ASTO. And in this role, she leads work for ASTO in key areas, including health equity, state health policy, public health informatics, public health integration, and Medicaid partnerships. And prior to ASTO, Ms. Lupi was appointed by Governor Deval Patrick to serve as the Deputy Commissioner for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And she supported the she supported Commissioner John Auerbach by leading the day-to-day operations of an agency, including four public health hospitals, the Hinton State Laboratory, several regulatory bodies, and numerous programmatic divisions that address chronic and infectious disease, substance abuse services, environmental health, tobacco control, maternal, child, and adolescent health, and emergency preparedness. So, Monica, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Maishi. And I think Maishi did a wonderful job of setting the framework for today's session. At the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, our members are the state health officials and their leadership teams. And what we've tried to do with today's panel is to really bring together leaders in the field amongst our health departments that are taking really different strategies and approaches to addressing health equity. And Maishi is right. I mean, the issue of a systems approach, or that's philosophy, or that framework for tackling tackling health disparities is really the direction that many of our state health departments are on now. And the state health official in particularly is uniquely situated because of his or her role in terms of interactions with various cabinet members, so within their administration, being able to take that health in all policies, or as I know Dr. Ellinger's approach to much of his work in Minnesota is really looking at health equity in all of the policies, and bringing together multiple stakeholders from both inside state government, with legislators, policymakers, and the business sector. And so we're really excited that all three of our colleagues are here to present their work to all of you. So I'll quickly go through a brief bio of each of our speakers and then quickly hand off so that they can walk through their slides, and then we'll leave enough time to have some good Q&A with the participants. We're going to start off with Marisa this morning. Marisa New is the manager of the Health Equity and Resource Opportunities Division at the Oklahoma State Department of Health. She's also Oklahoma's newly appointed affiliate representative of the APHA Governing Council. Congratulations, Marisa. She passionately advocates for persons disadvantaged by conditions that limit health potential. She collaborates continually with partners representing food security, housing, transportation, public safety, and business. And she's the immediate past chair and charter member of the steering committee for the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors Health Equity Council. Marisa is also an appointed member of the Region 6 Health Equity Council for the National Partnership for Action. She's an alumnus of the University of Oklahoma College of Public Health and a registered occupational therapist. So welcome, Marisa. Marisa will be followed by Jamal Miller. Jamal was appointed Deputy Director to the Office of Health Equity at the California Department of Public Health starting in October of 2013. Prior to joining the Health Department, he served as the Communications Manager with Kaiser Permanente's National Offices, Community Benefit Health Policy and Research Division. At Kaiser Permanente, he also served in the Central Valley service area, where he was the Manager for Community and Government Relations within the Public Affairs Division. Jamal completed an executive fellowship with the Nehemiah Emerging Leaders Program in conjunction with the American Leadership Forum in Coro. Mr. Miller is a proud graduate of Columbia University in New York City, received his Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology, and holds a Master of Healthcare Administration from the University of Southern California. We'll round out our conversation with Dr. Ed Ellinger, who is Minnesota's Commissioner of Health. Dr. Ellinger has been in this role since January 2011 and is ASTHO's President-elect. Dr. Ellinger is responsible for directing the work of the Health Department, and it is the state's lead public health agency that's responsible for protecting, maintaining, and improving the health of all Minnesotans. Prior to being appointed commissioner, Dr. Ellinger served as director and chief health officer for Boynton Health Service at the University of Minnesota from 1995 to 2011. From 1980 to 1995, he served as the director of personal health services for the Minneapolis Health Department. Dr. Ellinger received his medical degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and his master's from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So with that introduction, I will hand off to Marisa, who will walk us through her slides.
Thank you very much. And I am so honored to be here to present and to present with Jamal and Dr. Ellinger today. Today, I will describe how Oklahoma, a heartland state, has been progressing to achieve health equity despite our own pride and adversity. First of all, I want to give you a description of Oklahoma. You may not know that Oklahoma is known for a lot of things and some actual firsts, like we have 77 counties and 603 school districts, and it was in Oklahoma City that the first parking meter was invented and installed in 1935. And even though we are known for our Great Plains, if you combine Oklahoma's shoreline along its lakes, ponds, rivers, and streams, we have more miles of total freshwater shoreline than the East Coast and the Gulf combined. Mile for mile, Oklahoma offers some of the nation's most diverse terrain, and it's only four states with more than 10 ecoregions. So Oklahoma's regions include everything from Rocky Mountain foothills to cypress swamps, tall grass prairies, and hardwood forests to pine-covered mountains. And as you can see, we have partnered with the Oklahoma Department of Tourism and Recreation. Like our terrain, our state evolved with a diversity of people from different cultures and backgrounds. In the early 1830s, approximately 125,000 American Indians traveled a long and challenging journey on the Trail of Tears to Oklahoma's Indian Territory. And unlike other states, Oklahoma has no Indian reservations, but we serve as headquarters for 39 Indian tribes. In 1889, the Oklahoma land run took place, and Oklahoma's unassigned lands were opened, allowing settlers from across the country to claim land in Oklahoma Territory. Oklahoma's diversity of land and resources, Oklahoma's diversity of land and people grew more rapidly as the wealth of our natural resources were revealed. And beyond the land run, the oil boom brought many to our frontier lands. Okay. With the rise of Oklahoma, many people reaped its benefits, but also its challenges, both natural and economic. And in the 1930s, the Great Depression became an equalizer of sorts. Here's a little more about our state's history from another Oklahoman and one of America's favorite sons, Will Rogers. Oops.
Struggling to come
Okay, so it's amazing how we're still dealing with some of the same issues, but history shouldn't repeat itself. There are Oklahomans striving to improve the social and health conditions of our communities, even though health status has remained consistently low for many years. In the 1990s, we had our oil boom, and our health status of Oklahomans was higher, and we were ranked 32nd compared to now we're ranked 44th. However, to our credit this year, there have been more health improvements resulting in more infant lives saved and more adults living smoke-free. But with 17% of our Oklahomans living below poverty, we must do more to achieve health equity. Oklahomans have built coalitions that have brought together like-minded and concerned individuals to discuss health issues, and today I'm highlighting two coalitions, the Oklahoma Turning Point Partnerships and the Oklahoma Health Equity Campaign. Turning Point Partnerships began their development in 1998 with Robert Wood Johnson funding. It was then that Oklahoma piloted three public-private public health partnerships in its panhandle, as well as Tulsa and Oklahoma City. And today, there are over 77 partnerships, and they are identified on this map. In 2003, the Oklahoma Turning Point Council, the Oklahoma Academy for State Goals, the Oklahoma State Chamber, and the Oklahoma State Department of Health developed the Certified Healthy Oklahoma program. It's a free statewide certification that showcases organizations and communities that are committed to fostering environments that support healthy choices. The Certified Healthy Oklahoma program recognizes businesses, restaurants, and campuses, and in 2010, legislation created the Certified Healthy Schools and Communities Act. And this year, the partnership was approached to include healthy congregations and healthy early childhood centers. All work to improve the health of Oklahomans by implementing the elements such as policies and programs that will assist and challenge Oklahomans to eat better, move more, and be tobacco-free. Today, we have over 1,000 Oklahoma businesses certified. The Oklahoma Health Equity Campaign, another statewide coalition, has been leveraging resources and opportunities with partners such as the National Association of City County Health Officials, the Oklahoma Public Health Association, the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors, and the National Partnership for Action. Our success has come in the form of partnerships that have collaborated to share and also develop assessment tools, documentaries, training curriculums, and connections with networks. At this time, I wish to extend my gratitude to these organizations for their generosity and willingness to work side by side with Oklahoma to develop and pilot some of these interventions. It's here that I'd like to echo what Mary Wakefield, our current Administrator of Health Resources and Services Administration, said. She comes from Kansas. She recently stated that it's in the rural heartland where partnerships and the creative uses of limited health resources are just the way we do business. And, of course, it takes a little bit longer, too. So as we have utilized best practices and other pilot interventions to integrate health equity concepts, Oklahoma has been forging new relationships with non-traditional partners, including professional and trade organizations that embrace planners and providers within transit, housing, literacy, and education to address the social determinants that impact health. And it's taken patience to build mutual trust, but our local and state partners have served to expedite working collaboration. And as you can see on our slide here, we've been working with the planners since before 2010. We actually were working with them in 2008, 2009, where we had collaborated to have a pre-conference where we addressed the built environment and health. And since that time, I highlighted here what those coalitions or those professional associations have now integrated within to their programming in their annual conferences. So in 2010, 2012, 2013, you can see what programming they have provided in the Planners Association. And we, this year, are hopeful that we're going to be working with them with the APHA or the CDC funding that we just had a grant announcement for. Some of the collaborative sharing began with drafting position statements with assistance from both non-health partners as well as interested community partners. Today, these position statements are attached to messages that provide the latest information about public transportation, housing, food security, and health literacy. So I'd like to invite you to review those statements and subscribe to our listserv, which is indicated here, and also we are on Twitter and on Facebook. Since the development of these statements, they've been adopted by partner organizations such as the Governor's Interagency Council on Homelessness, the Oklahoma Public Health Association, the Oklahoma Alliance for Public Transportation, and the Oklahoma Turning Point Council. We're happy to say that our campaign partners are now being asked to present these position statements at legislative interim studies, and here are a couple that took place this last year. It was a great opportunity to present, and we were even given time with the Transportation Committee to provide a presentation on complete streets. We actually had a national representative that we brought into Oklahoma City, and we had this opportunity arise, so we were just so thankful that we were able to provide a lot more information regarding health to an audience that really was geared to talk about high-speed rail in Oklahoma. All of this, of course, shows that we are increasingly integrating health in all policies. To add to this effort, another synergistic occurrence transpired in the last couple of weeks, actually. A think tank of over 450 influential individuals representing public and private organizations convened to address health at the Oklahoma Academy for State Goals. This group gathered to present and review health-related information, with their goal being to develop policy recommendations. The Oklahoma Health Equity Campaign, again, this is one of our statewide coalitions, was able to submit papers that included our position statements covering the impacts of food, public transportation, literacy, and housing on health. It also included a health impact assessment that the City of Oklahoma City just completed as part of their comprehensive planning process, of which members of the Oklahoma Health Equity Campaign were on the advisory committee. And again, this was the first health equity or health impact assessment conducted by a municipality in Oklahoma, and hopefully will be replicated in other communities. This forum was also considered the policy recommendations that were developed by members of the Oklahoma Turning Point Council, who convened in September for part of their policy day. As we have seen productivity increase with public and private collaborations, the State Health Department has been simultaneously integrating health equity concepts into its centralized system, as reflected by its strategic map, updated policies and procedures, its performance management model, its organizational restructuring, and Oklahoma's health improvement plan. We also have a new goal to develop a health equity index that some of our partners within the National Partnership for Action have modeled with success. Okay, here, I know you can't read all of this, but here's our strategic map. It focuses on the achievement of targeted improvements in our health status, and from it comes our strategic plan. And as you can see by the highlighted areas in yellow, we address the need to reduce health inequities and the need to utilize social determinants of health approaches to maximize health outcomes. Also tied to our strategic plan and our performance management model are our individual employee evaluations, which incorporate objectives that stresses the role we have to play in the process of health improvement. Our Human Resources Department has been instrumental in establishing and emphasizing inclusivity, transparency, and accountability in our agency's equal employment opportunity policies and procedures, including, I'm happy to report, concepts of health equity. In addition to developing and enforcing policies and procedures that are designed to eliminate unlawful workplace discrimination, harassment, or retaliation based on race, color, religion, sex, national origin, age, disability, and genetic information, our HR professionals have been proactive with regard to the following. First of all, ensuring that our interview committees are properly populated with gender and ethnic representation. Also mandating that supervisory training that includes points of emphasis on bullying and workplace violence. And third, including health equity and the critical role it plays in our work as part of our new employee orientation curriculum. The State Health Department also employs a performance management model, which is essentially a quality improvement process that connects the National Healthy People 2020 objectives, the 10 essential services of public health, and then connecting the local communities and our public-private partnerships. This alignment helps our health departments, both state and local, achieve and maintain our FAB accreditation. We also have our health equity organizational assessment and health equity trainings. This was conducted in collaboration with our National Association of Chronic Disease Directors. And in 2011, we actually piloted the NACDD's Health Equity Organizational Assessment, and it was provided to our state and local health departments, and it really focused in on looking at skill building in the areas of communications, cultural competence, program planning, analytical assessment, community practice, and leadership and system thinking skills pertaining to health equity and the social determinants of health. Since that time, we've conducted some basic training out into our county health departments addressing 69 of our counties. And here we have some restructuring that has taken place. The area that I represent is the Partnerships for Health Improvement, but we've also realigned to look at Center for Health Innovation and Effectiveness that's looking working with our payers out there and our providers, the Center for Health Statistics and the Center for the Advancement of Wellness. And then finally, we have our Oklahoma Health Improvement Plan. This is our statewide plan. It's not comprehensive, but it's strategic. And it's basically connects us to our local communities through our community health improvement plans that were developed with the MAP process, which is mobilizing for action through planning and partnerships. So as you can see, we've been really busy. We've been doing a lot with coalition building. We've also been doing a lot of internal restructuring, looking at our policies and procedures. It's taken a lot of time and effort. And again, we have a huge turnover of people right now as well, and we're educating all of them. And so we see a future that's really refreshing. So as you see, we in Oklahoma are working together, and our messaging is consistent and persistent. We've been out there at the Martin Luther King Day parades consistently over the last few years. And we're trying to rise together to achieve health equity in our heartland. So really appreciate this opportunity to present information to you. Again, it's we are a state that we have a lot of challenges, and but we're making some progress. It's just slow progress in comparison to Minnesota and California. So thank you.